Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, Michael Cutler. Friday, April the 4th. Goodness, we're getting well into April. Hopefully, spring weather, although the weather has been crazy across the country today. Always great to catch up with you at the end of the week. And there's certainly an awful lot to catch up on. Those of you familiar with my program know that I'm a retired INS senior special agent, and that ever since the terrorist attacks of 9/11, my goal has been to educate the American people and to educate our alleged leaders, whether they be in Washington, so the state capitals, or City Hall, to the true importance of the immigration laws. And that has been my mission. And I certainly don't claim to have all the answers, but my 42 years of involvement with this issue, 26 of those years as a special agent, 4 additional years as an immigration inspector, and I served as an adjudications officer as well. I've taken the scenic tour. So based on my experiences, I felt that I had a voice and issues and knowledge and experience that needed to be communicated. And that is the, at least was the initial purpose of the program. If you're a regular listener, you know that we occasionally go off into other areas. But today the focus will be immigration. And in fact, I've decided to fly solo this evening. I don't have any guests on today. You're certainly welcome to call in at 310-982-4145, 310-982-4145. But, I wanted to really go over a bunch of stuff that's been going on in the news. And, again, if you're new to the program, please go to my website, Michael Cutler, one word, Michael Cutler, CUTLER.net. Also, I have been for a number of years a senior fellow with an organization known as CAPS, Californians for Population Stabilization. They're a terrific website. They recently revamped it, by the way, did a beautiful job. It's capsweb.org, C-A-P-S, capsweb.org. They are located, as they always like to remind me, in beautiful downtown Santa Barbara, California. That really struck a resonant chord being here in New York City, especially in this crazy, brutal winter that we've had, but they're good friends, they're good people, and they're trying to alert America and Americans about the true nature of immigration and other related issues, and I'm very happy to be one of the folks who contributes to their blog and provides insight to them. And in fact, the lead story today on their blog, if you go there, capsweb.org, you will see that my commentary is actually the lead commentary, and it's called How and Why. And what I did was to look at the immigration issue and the nonsense that's being spewed about it. And that's going to be my focus for the moment, because I want to start out by being a mythbuster this evening, because it gets tiring after a while to keep hearing the same nonsense, the same false accusations, the same Orwellian news speech. So I've decided, or news speak rather, well, I guess it is news speak also when it comes out of the mouths of some of these characters. The people that want open borders are people I have come to call the immigration anarchists. And that's really what they're aiming for, anarchy. And one of the things they like to do is to say, well, we can't use the word alien because, God forbid, if you say the word alien, pardon me, I've got a frog in my throat this evening. If you say the word alien, the sky will part and people will die and the earth will be sucked into a black hole or something. The term alien, folks, is not a pejorative. It's not an insult. It's a legal term. The problem with the word alien for the open borders immigration anarchists is that it creates clarity and true understanding of the issue. And when you're trying to swindle people, the only way that you may have a chance of getting away with it is to use deceptive language, bullying tactics, propaganda, all the old tricks. So let's get rid of the nonsense. Let's get those fans going. Let's get rid of the blue smoke and all the nonsense they dump on us. The term alien simply means any person, not a citizen or national of the United States. That's it. That's the whole definition. If you can find an insult in the definition of alien, any person, not a citizen or national of the United States, then I want to know what the problem is. Because the whole point is that the other side does not like that word because it's about clarity. That's what it's about. You know, if you provide clarity, then there's a problem. And that, by the way, is the definition that appears in that body of law known as the Immigration and Nationality Act. Any citizen, any person not a citizen or national of the United States. It doesn't say you're stupid, you're ugly, or you smell bad, or you have no morals. It just says you're not a citizen. And if we, as Americans, go to other countries, we become aliens by virtue of entering onto their territory. Not a problem. That's the way the law works. We're not a citizen of every country in the world. But again, it's the name game. It's the game of harassment, the game of intimidation, the game of bullying. Let me give you another example. And this, by the way, is why they do it. Then they say that if you don't want to have the borders open, and you don't want everybody who comes here, no matter how they come here, if you think that when they violate those laws that we should keep them here, and if you don't, now you're anti-immigrant, that's baloney. We are pro-enforcement, and there's a very big difference. First of all, we all know psychologically nobody wants to be anti. Maybe anti-MAME, that's about it. Look at the way that the abortion lines have been drawn, pro-choice, pro-life. Nobody wants to be anti-anything. Anti is a position of weakness, and nobody wants to have to negotiate or fight a war from a position of weakness. That's why in the military, the infantry always wants to get to the high ground because then they can shoot down on their opponents, the enemy. The high ground in a debate is control of language. So that's why they use the terminology. So they say, well, if we can get these people to be anti-immigrants, that's terrible, because America is a country founded by immigrants, and these people don't like immigrants. So we really have to have a little clarity today. And then I'm going to get into the how and the whys that I discussed in my CAPS article, and I want you to know just how bad the administration has gotten and what they're doing and what the Republicans, or at least some of them, want to do now. And I guarantee you it's going to infuriate you. And they need to hear from us. That's the purpose to the show. That's the point to all this, to empower you with the information that you're not going to get on the mainstream media, because a lot of those companies out there that own these broadcast networks and the newspapers and so forth are globalists. They're just looking for customers. They want profit at any cost, too high a cost, if you ask me. But so if you look at the nonsense being spewed about being anti-immigrant, here's the point to understand. The immigration laws, I jokingly say, are a little bit like God. They giveth and they taketh away. Yes, the Immigration and Nationality Act tells us who we're supposed to keep out of the United States, and for the first 4 years of my career as an inspector, that was my job, was to use those laws as the basis for the decisions I made when they went on duty every day and sat in that booth at Kennedy Airport in the arrivals areas. And it starts out with aliens with dangerous communicable diseases. Let's remember, Ellis Island was a quarantine station. Aliens who suffer severe mental illness and are violent or sex offenders, again, Ellis Island. Aliens who are convicted felons, aliens who have been previously deported, aliens who are members of violent gangs or terrorist organizations, money launderers, people running prostitution rings, people smuggling drugs or smuggling aliens, and again, convicted felons. So clearly, it's about keeping out people who pose a threat. Aliens who are involved with espionage, terrorism, human rights violators and war criminals, all excludable. Aliens who would likely have to take money from the government because they couldn't support themselves while they're in our country, well, that creates a problem for America and Americans. We're not talking about a handful of people. We're talking about millions of people. It adds up, and I'll get into that in a little bit also. And aliens who might work illegally, thereby competing unfairly with an American worker, either displacing the American worker or, at the very least, driving down wages and working conditions of Americans, because that, in fact, is how we built the middle class. If you go to Title 8, United States Code, Section 1182.1182, it enumerates the categories of aliens that we're supposed to keep out of the United States. It doesn't say aliens with a particular religion or of a particular ethnicity, race, whatever. And I'll be honest, on a personal note, if it did, I couldn't have enforced those laws. I was named for my grandmother, who was slaughtered in the Holocaust because we're Jews. The laws are fair, they're balanced, they're even-handed. And the grounds for deportation, any alien who at the time of entry was excludable is deportable any time thereafter, or aliens who violate the terms of their visas when they come here, they were supposed to go to school and they did not, they weren't supposed to work and they did, they were given a date by which they had to leave and they stayed. Those are all grounds for deportation or an alien who's convicted of committing certain crimes. What is unfair or unreasonable about that? You know, bars have bouncers, right? Misbehave in that restaurant or that bar, they're going to show you the door. They may heave you through the door. So that's all that this is about. The inspector at the booth is not unlike the homeowner who looks through the peephole before admitting a stranger into the home. So that's the enforcement side. But there's the giving side. Remember I said giving and taking. Every year we admit more than 1 million lawful immigrants into the United States. They have given green cards. They are on the pathway to citizenship. And in point of fact, every year more than 500,000 aliens generally apply to become citizens through the naturalization process. That is also allowed under the immigration laws. It's balanced. We provide political asylum under those laws. We allow foreign students to study here under those laws. So really, this is about people that are pro-enforcement and people who are anti-enforcement. The immigration anarchists don't want those laws enforced. Now, they understand that with that baggage of non-enforcement means more criminals will come here, more terrorists might come here, but their motivation is so strong that they are willing to overlook it, or maybe they want it to happen for whatever reason. You got to look at the group and understand who they are and what they're about. But this is kind of like someone saying that if you were told that there were people burglarizing houses and doing midnight home invasions and you know, raping and killing people in houses when they break in, that if you locked your door at night, that you're antisocial. I mean, that's crazy. You're being prudent. But today, with this bunch of thugs, being prudent is something that now attracts the false accusations and the bullying tactics. Oh, you're anti-immigrant. No, we have common sense, and we are concerned about the well-being of America and Americans. And, you know, the most likely victim of the transnational criminals, and it's not just from Latin America, it's from Russia, Asia, Africa, the Caribbean, Europe, I don't care where, because every society, every race has the good, the bad, and the ugly, the smart, the dumb, and whatever else. Human nature at its best, human nature at its worst, and every group of people, regardless of ethnicity, race, religion, national origins, we're all the same that way. This isn't about one group versus another group, except law violators versus those who abide by the law. That's the only distinction. Citizen versus alien, that's the only distinction. So how unreasonable is it to protect us from those folks and recognize that the most likely victims of the violence perpetrated by the transnational criminals are, in fact, the members of the ethnic immigrant communities? So how anti-immigrant are we? You know, I see I have a call here. Let's see who's calling in. Happy Friday. You've got Mike Cutler on the line. Who's this?
This is Charles Butler. You got Charles Butler on the line.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Charles Butler, radio talk show host and man of many talents and abilities in his own right. Happy Friday, Charles.
Happy Friday to you, Michael. You know, I call this Freedom Friday.
Freedom Friday, that will work for me, and it's always great getting together with you. And I think I'm scheduled to join you on your terrific program on Monday morning. Is that on? Or
that's right, Monday morning, 0900 Eastern.
All right. I'm looking forward to it, as always. Boy, this is really a turn of events, having you call my program for a change. What's
going
on
let
in
me
your
do
world?
To you with, well, you know, it's the same old thing. You know, I hear you. I feel you. I'm on your page. We are Sanctuary City here in Chicago, so, you know, we have criminals that are running rampant, that are killing American citizens, and running back across the border and going out to O'Hara and getting on planes and leaving the country unfeathered because they are illegal immigrants.
Yep, and isn't that remarkable? The term sanctuary, doesn't it sound like a place of peace and security? And in point of fact, not for American citizens, not for law-abiding immigrants, but for the thugs, it's a place of sanctuary. I mean, is that crazy or what?
It is crazy, but check this out. You know the woman who was in the church for a year here in Chicago?
Yes.
Well, they finally came out. This guy wrote a nice piece, and he said, you know, she's the wrong face for illegal immigration. She's not the face I think you want to put up for illegal immigration. She has two kids, both are illegitimate. She's on welfare. You know, one of her kids needs all this support and help. And she's here on our dole. She's on welfare. Her kid's getting medical treatment because she's here illegally. And, you know, we have tens of hundreds of these people in Chicago.
You know what you should do next time I'm on your program? You know the bumper music we need? You know that song, Free Ride? Come on and take a free ride.
Come on and take a free ride.
Exactly.
Come on, baby, I'm by your side.
You know,
hey, Mike, I think we're dating ourselves.
Oh, man, you know, but I tell you, it's true, though. I mean, this is lunacy, but you should look that music up and use it for bumper music. I mean, this is really crazy stuff. And then,
you're kidding me. As we like to say, Michael, you can't make this stuff up.
No, and then the Obama administration just cut loose 68,000 aliens with criminal histories.
Michael, when I heard that, the first person I thought of was you. I go, God, that doggone Cutler got it right again.
Yep. And you know, we're only going to arrest criminals. So now they're releasing the criminals that they arrested for what purpose? Does it matter if they're going to rape or kill or pillage? No. Hillary would say, what difference does it make?
Remember this, Michael. See, the political elite, these are the people who don't want the guns in their community. These are the people whose
because
children are being killed.
Because they drive around with 15 armed guards with machine guns.
Yeah.
So they don't worry about getting mugged.
Yeah. Or they have armed communities. They always have people doing their
gated
bidding.
Gated communities, absolutely.
Yeah, here in Chicago, not only do they have gated communities, they have police forces. Here in Chicago, not only do we have in Hyde Park the Chicago Police Department, but we have the University of Chicago Police Department, which has the same policing powers as the CPD. So if you run a stop sign and these guys see you, guess what? They can issue you a ticket. Guess what? They can also arrest you because what? They have what's called policing powers.
Yep.
So, with that said, you know, they don't care about the 68,000. It's like Barbara Feinstein. She doesn't care about people who are unprotected. She says, I have my gun. You can't have one, though, because your life is not as important as mine. I'm the mayor of San Francisco, and,
now she's a senator, but remember when Feinstein got all, you know, well, the NSA is doing what they're supposed to do, and they're keeping us safe, until they found out that the NSA was peeking into their stuff, and then all of a sudden the screams were, you didn't need to listen to the TV. I could hear her voice all the way from Washington and New York City.
Yeah, she did get a little upset when she found out they were...
She did get a little upset when she found out
the NSA was reading her emails.
Her stuff, yeah. Wait,
listening
wait.
To her phone call.
It's like Helmsley, you know, the little people pay taxes.
Hey, the little people get spied on, not us. Exactly. But, you know, Marie Antoinette but that is totally passe to Michelle Obama and her trips to Spain and her trips to China and her trips all over the world on the taxpayer dime while millions of Americans are trying to find out where their next meal is coming
from. But now look at what wusses we have even in industry in America. When they brought the guys in from Detroit, do you remember that whole thing with Pelosi?
Yeah. Why are you coming here in your private jets? And this hammer was taking a 757 from Andrews nonstop to San Francisco. Probably she was flying. I'll tell you exactly where she's flying into. She was flying into Travis Air Force Base, which is just north of San Francisco. She probably had a car waiting there to pick.
Did you say Travis the Air Base?
No, Travis.
I'm joking with you. It is a travesty.
Yeah.
You know, if I was
one of those
Detroit guys, I'll tell you what I would have said to her. Remember how she chastised them like schoolboys who hadn't done their homework and they were caught? And they sat there looking very sullen and very apologetic. You know, I got to tell you, if she had pulled that on me and if I was one of them, I would have said, Madam Pelosi, you know, it's rare for a man to admit this. And it's difficult for me to admit this, but this is one case where yours definitely is bigger than mine.
No, you know, what I would have said was
this. I mean, they're flying around in Learjets, and she's flying around in a 757. Really?
What I would have said was this. Not only we're paying for this. I'm paying for this on my dime. You fly around on the taxpayer's dime, and you're going to tell me that your time is more important than my time? While I'm making money for my shareholders?
On top of it, look at the operating cost of her airplane versus their airplane.
Exactly. But
that's
see,
what I mean
because
when I say
these
yours
people
is bigger than mine. Her plane is a monster. You could have parked all of their airplanes in the aisle of her airplane.
Michael, I'm sorry. You know my mind was is I thought you were talking about balls.
Well, she had balls to say something like that, but yes.
Oh man!
So
hey,
now you
know,
see
hey.
Where I'm going with it. So now we're on the same page once again.
I do. We always have fun. And, Michael, I just wanted to call in and say, you know, you just do a great job. I certainly appreciate having your friendship, having you on the air with me and having you on the air doing your own show. And I encourage people to listen to you and to tune in to my show and listen to you on my show or wherever you are.
WGCN. On WGCN. 'Cause you, broadcast out of Chicago.
Yeah, you do a great job, my friend. Thank you your committedness to saving America, saving American jobs, saving America for our children. Thank you. Seriously.
Hey, thank you, Charles. It's really coming from you, that's really a great compliment. I appreciate it. You know, I saw Charles for the first time live in a person in Washington at the D.C. March for Jobs. We were both there trying to get things done. Folks, you got to get out there and get involved. I know that you probably get infuriated when you listen to my program and I tell you what I tell you, and Charles does an equally great job or a better job, perhaps, of getting important information out there. But knowledge is power, but it's only worth having that power if you're willing to use it. You know, once you gas up the car, you got to take it for a spin. Go to Washington. Go to your representatives. Make them hear your voice and get your neighbors and your friends involved. We need to take back our country from these characters. Would you agree?
Of course I do. I do, Michael. I do. And
I'm going to sign off. You go have a good weekend.
I'm going to sign off and listen to you, and because I you know you're my guy. I enjoy listening to you, whether you're talking on my show or listening to your show. So I'm getting ready to put you up on my Twitter page. Talk to you, my friend. Have a good one.
Thank you.
All right,
Charles.
Bye-bye.
Be well. Have a wonderful weekend. I'll see you on Monday.
You too. All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
So long, Charles Butler. That was Charles Butler, he has his own Charles Butler show on Monday mornings in Chicago. And those of you that get my emails, you know you'll be getting a notification that I will be on with him. So I'm very much looking forward to joining him. You know, going back to the point that I was making about the Obama administration and about what passes for leadership, there's one guy in Washington, well, there's a few guys, Lou Barletta, one of my heroes, great leader in the House of Representatives, formerly the mayor of Hazleton. We're personal friends. I was his last witness when he got sued by the ACLU at that trial because he enacted his own ordinances, not out of bigotry or xenophobia, but because a Dominican drug gang had set up shop in his bucolic, beautiful little town of Hazleton, Pennsylvania, and they were killing people. And when he went to Washington and said to the folks at DHS, what I call the Department of Homeland Surrender, goodness gracious, and he said, you know, I need help. They said, don't look for us to help you, but they gave him a nice mug, I think, with a badge on it or whatever. In fact, we did a joint appearance in Daytona Beach, Florida at Embry-Riddle University, and C-SPAN covered it. You could actually see the program. And he was incredulous. He says, yeah, you can't believe it. I go to Washington, I have this meeting, they hand me a mug, and they say, here's all the help you're getting, have a mug. So he went out and enacted his own ordinances to protect the people in his town, got sued. I was his final witness. We've been working together ever since. Jeff Sessions did an amazing job the past couple of weeks. Well, I shouldn't just say the past couple of weeks because that's going to give the wrong idea that he's a Johnny-come-lately. Jeff Sessions has been at it forever. People ask me who I would like to see president, and I will tell you, I'd love to see Jeff Sessions sitting in the Oval Office. I say this as a lifelong registered Democrat. I never vote for any party. I always vote for individuals. Anybody who votes a party line is arguably insane. But Sessions is a class act. He's got guts. He's got integrity. He's got spine, and he gets it right. And Jeff Sessions put out a paper just a couple of days ago warning about what the administration was doing. And he was talking about just how bad it was, how the administration was actually, you know, releasing criminals and making these claims of all the people that they were deporting, and these were false statistics. They were pushing people back and then taking credit. What I mean by pushing back, the Border Patrol would block people from trying to run the border, and they would count them as people that were deported. When an alien comes into an airport, if the alien is told by the inspector, look, we're not going to admit you. We think you're coming to work illegally, or there's another problem with you. And so you have a choice. You can either go home voluntarily, get back on that airplane, or we're going to take you into custody and have you go before an immigration judge. It's a very different story if the alien says, I'm just going to go home. That's not a deportation. There's no ramifications criminally any other which way if somebody, you know, simply goes home voluntarily. That ends the whole process. If someone is arrested and they're here illegally and the agency gives them the opportunity to depart voluntarily without being ordered deported by a judge, if they come back illegally, the consequences are much, much, much milder than if a judge formally orders them deported. So there's a world of difference between the guy, the alien male, the alien female, whatever, who says, I'm going back voluntarily, versus the alien who says, no, I'm going to hang tough. You put me before that judge, and then the judge orders them deported. For the first time, this administration took credit for every alien that was removed, whether they went back voluntarily, whether they were turned back by the Border Patrol, or whether they were formally deported by a judge and said they're all the same. No, they're not, but it was a way of boosting statistics. And in point of fact, Senator Sessions talked about how something like 98%, I believe, of the aliens that are out there have nothing to fear from this administration. These are people who are here in violation of our laws. And now we have this tragedy at Fort Hood. And we have members of Congress. In fact, there's an effort underway, even as you listen to this program, folks, to attach a rider to the appropriations bill for the military to allow aliens who are part of this DREAMer business, the DREAM Act, you know, this deferred action business, to be able to go to the military and then be given resident alien status. Let me tell you something. The last thing that I want is to see illegal aliens serving in the United States military. People who run the border do so because they have something in their backgrounds that they know will keep them out of the country. Now, it may simply be that they're coming to work illegally, which creates problems, but not a nightmare, but problems. You also have people who are convicted felons, people who have been previously deported, people who are members of violent gangs and terrorist organizations. And so they conceal that by using a false name, and if their fingerprints aren't on file here, the odds are quite good that the fingerprints won't show up, even if we fingerprint them. You know, everybody assumes, oh, you take fingerprints, we know everything we need to know. No, that's not generally the case. Generally, I mean, if a person was deported, was arrested in the United States, the prints will show up. If they were arrested in another country, depending on the country, they may show up. But in most third world countries, forget about those fingerprints relating to anything. You just won't, you'll get a zero, what we call a zero hit, no hit. So it's very easy to lie about who you are and what you're doing here. So is it really in America's best interest to educate foreign nationals who violated our borders, violated our laws for reasons known only to them, and then give them weapons training, tactical training? I mean, this is like an act of national suicide. Back in the late 70s, early 1980s, I started to work with the New York City Police Department. I'll tell you a quick story, folks, but I think it's worth listening to this. I was working with the police in the 71st Precinct, the neighborhood Crown Heights. I came to do an awful lot of work in that precinct. In fact, I had a desk in that precinct. And what was really interesting about it is we had a whole bunch of people who were there from, we found from Jamaica and Panama and Trinidad and the Caribbean, Honduras. And what they were doing was signing up for the Marine Corps primarily, taking weapons training, and as soon as they got their training, many of them went AWOL, many of them stole weapons, and then they were pulling off commando-style bank robberies around the New York City area. The NYPD was chasing them. ATF got involved, alcohol, tobacco, firearms. They had, you know, automatic weapons, and they were illegal aliens who lied about their identities, which made it a felony. And then we also had the Office of Naval Intelligence. Back then, that's what it was called, ONI, now NIS, Naval Investigative Service. So we formed sort of an unofficial task force, no paperwork signed, none of this notice of agreement, memorandum of understanding, nothing like that. We just kind of got together and went out there and did the job. And it was an eye-opener for me because most of those aliens had come here on agricultural visas or they had come on tourist visas or they stowed away on ships. But one way or the other, they managed to get into the United States. They managed to get into the military. And then they managed to take that training and look what they did with it. And a lot of people were killed and wounded. And now we see where Los Zetas, the military and the elite police agencies of Mexico, were trained by us, and they became the most violent and pernicious of all the Mexican drug gangs. We keep seeing these things happening. There have been reports written by the FBI about involvement of gangs in our military, where they saw gang graffiti all over Afghanistan and Iraq during the war. Well, guess who was putting the graffiti up? Members of the gangs who got into the military, and when they come home, they understand tactics, they are battle-hardened, they know how to use weapons. Is this in America's best interest? But the problem is that you have politicians who are so hell-bent on, number one, attracting what they call the Latino vote, which is one of the worst imaginable forms of profiling and bigotry that I've ever seen or heard. And it's so remarkable that the same journalists who go crazy when they hear about police doing any kind of profiling, which usually is situational, you know, the white guy in that fancy car in a black neighborhood at 3 o'clock in the morning and he's driving around with his headlights off on a block where there have been a bunch of drug sales. Well, if I was up doing surveillance with the cops and I've spent half my career with the drug task force, I assure you we're going to stop that kid. Now, part of it is his color. The other part is the car and the kind of car and that he's driving without headlights and the block that he's on and the time of day. So there's a whole bunch of components that go into that stop because all of those pieces to that puzzle add up to suspicious activity, suspicious factors. But when people talk about the Latino vote, I want you to think about it. All that they're saying is that if your name is Garcia or your name is Rodriguez, we know all we need to know about you, and we know who you're going to vote for and what you want. And it's insulting, it's infuriating, and it leads to bigotry. Because then people look at some guy who has a Hispanic name, and they go, oh, my God, the guy's last name is Garcia. I wonder where he was born. And if my friend Tom Garcia is listening tonight, and he was the guy who arranged me to get this radio program, by the way, Tom Garcia's family comes from Cuba. He's a great American. He was a Top Gun flight instructor for the U.S. Navy. He currently flies an American Airlines 737 as a captain. I'd hardly call him a suspicious illegal alien, but yet if you look at these fights, he's a conservative Republican. He had been a congressional candidate. That's how I met him when I was doing a previous radio show, and I had him on my program so he could talk about his campaign years ago. But we've created a situation in America where if your last name is Garcia or Goldstein or whatever, this is all about profiling. That's all we need to know. We know who you're going to vote for. We know what's important to you. That's it. Doesn't that sound like bigotry and prejudice to you? Because it sure as hell sounds like it to me. It's upsetting. And America is better than that. But this is the mythology that we're hearing, that if the conservatives want that mythical Latino vote, then we have to take care of illegal aliens and we have to do all these other things. I have met quite a few folks who are Hispanic, who are dead set against any amnesty, whose families came here legally. You know, I'm the son of an immigrant. My mom came here from Poland ahead of the Holocaust. And I have no problem with people coming legally, provided that the legal system, number one, has integrity, and number two, lives up to the requirements of not creating a threat to American lives or a threat to the jobs of American workers, period. What could be more reasonable? But in this quest for campaign donations, and of course, that will be getting a lot worse now with the Supreme Court decision, and in this quest for those donations and the votes and whatever else they're looking for, the politicians, they're finding weasel ways of providing lawful status to millions of illegal aliens. This is nutty. We don't know who they are, and yet we're going to take care of them in a way that defies not only common sense, but the recommendations and findings of the 9/11 Commission. And Jeff Sessions has been very outspoken about it. And then Matt Doyle over at Breitbart just wrote this amazing article about how 68,000 aliens with criminal histories were turned loose. So much for the immigration laws protecting our lives and our jobs. Today they made this big announcement, 192,000 jobs created. Well, they were hoping there'd be a few more, but wow. You know what? That's nearly the same number of jobs were created as the number of entitled workers are admitted or potential workers are admitted to the United States every month, number one. Number two, those jobs may well be minimum wage, or maybe they're part-time because of Obamacare, so they're under 28 hours. Nobody looks at the details. They just put up that number. It's like watching the old Jerry Lewis telethon. How much money do we have on the tote board, you know? How many jobs are on the tote board? All jobs are not created equal. And it was very interesting because as I watched TV today, they made another interesting point right after they talked about the new jobs that were created. And what did they talk about? That the average American family no longer believes they're part of the middle class, but that they have fallen from the middle class to poverty or to the lower middle class, from the middle class. Wages and family income around the country for most Americans is plummeting, because this is all about wage equality, which Alan Greenspan said we could achieve by subjecting American workers to foreign competition. In other words, we're not going to raise wages so much as we're going to lower the middle class so they will more closely approximate the working poor. This is a prescription for a disaster for America. When I wrote for CAPS this particular month, and I'm glad they put it up on at the very top, what I wrote about with the questions that nobody asks. We always hear these journalists and these so-called reporters come on the programs, and whenever they talk about comprehensive reform, you know what they say. We need comprehensive reform. It will help the economy. And everybody nods in agreement like a bunch of bobbleheads. Have you ever seen anybody challenge a journalist or a politician who says that? Ever seen anyone say to them, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. How would it help the economy to take millions, perhaps tens of millions, I don't believe this 11 million figure, you know, in 1986 when they did that first amnesty, that was supposed to be a one-shot deal, the Immigration Reform and Control Act under the Reagan administration. And believe me, folks, it's both sides of the aisle. I don't give Republicans or Democrats a pass. As far as I'm concerned, they're Republicrats. They're Republicrats. So we were told about a million would take part. We had between 3.5 and 4 million. If the same ratio holds true now, we could be looking at 30 to 40 million aliens. And many of them aren't even here yet. You know, there was just a news release about how they're going after the marriage fraud. And when people get married on paper but they don't live together, it's a threat to national security. And the 9/11 Commission warned about it. And they did. And they warned about political asylum fraud. Steve Dinan did an article not long ago, several months ago, talking about how political asylum fraud was one of the ways that the terrorists entered the United States and embedded themselves. But, of course, the journalists don't cover it that way. Never mind that this guy Kansi, Almeel Kansi, who shot up the CIA in 1993, Pakistani national, had applied for political asylum. Never mind that a month later, Ramzi Youssef, who was a key player in the first bombing at the World Trade Center, had been granted political asylum. Never mind that the Tsarnaev brothers, who wrought such destruction in Boston a year ago at the marathon, that their family had gotten political asylum, which means we have a credible fear that we can't go home, and as soon as we give them lawful status, they went back to Russia. But nobody looked at it. Never mind that the House Judiciary Committee held a hearing in December about how members of the Mexican cartels have been able to game the process and get political asylum. Clearly they're lying on their applications. They didn't say we're members of the Mexican cartel, but they are. So they hold this hearing. And then a couple of weeks ago or last month, they hold another hearing about how there's more abuses in the political asylum system. And so here's the question that needs to be asked. And I did ask a member of Congress about this. For now, I'm not going to talk about who I spoke to, but let me tell you, the conversation was interesting. Interesting. And I said, you know, if there's a political asylum process that involves thousands of people, and the fraud rate, according to a study that was done in 2009 but recently released at the behest of the Republican House of Representatives, Republican leadership, Do you know that the fraud rate, the people lying, 70%? And that's before Obama said, hey, you know what? Even if you're an alien who had contact with a terrorist group, if it was only incidental, that won't disqualify you. So what do you think that's going to do to our national security, folks? In fact, I was on Fox and Friends, and I was on with Megyn Kelly about a month ago talking about that particular idiocy of this administration. So maybe the fraud rate can go to 80 or 90% now, and we're talking about people who may be involved with terrorism. But yet, as much as the information is out there that a program that involved thousands of aliens has no integrity, some of these very same politicians are now saying, well, we should give people who are here illegally a pathway, if not to citizenship, then at least to employment authorization. We should take the dreamers and give them green cards. Never mind that they could be as old as 31 years old. Never mind that there's no capacity to do a face-to-face interview. Never mind that there's no capacity to do a field investigation to look for fraud to make sure that if people lie, we catch it and we prosecute them. No, we can't be bothered with that. And by the way, age 31 worries me, and here's that term profiling. Most terrorists tend to be under the age of 30. So it's very worrying stuff. So on the one hand, you have the politicians who want to beat up on Obama for political reasons, and because they're doing the right thing, too. Let's be honest. This administration has been a nightmare, in my judgment. You know, it's at the point where if I want to know if I'm being lied to, I turn on the TV, and if I see somebody from the administration speaking, I know that they're probably lying. The odds are quite good. I'm tired of it. But it's not to say that there isn't a lot of BS being spewed from most people on the other side of the aisle either. I'm sick of it, and so are most of our fellow Americans. But think about it. They do all these hearings. They do all these studies. The results are very clear. 70% fraud rate. We have no idea who's here. We're releasing people left and right. They can't deal with processing thousands of immigration files. So they're going to take that same agency that has a lack of ability and integrity and so forth, but instead of dealing with thousands, they're going to be dealing with millions. What could possibly go wrong? What could possibly go wrong? And so that was one of the things that I wanted to get out there. When I wrote my article for CAPS, it's the lead article right now on their blog, and there was another interesting article that they had. There's a bunch of interesting articles. Go to capsweb.org. I think you'll find it really worthwhile, and check it out regularly. But there's another article about how the number of minor kids, unaccompanied minors, are now going through the stratosphere. Because now everybody has the sense that we're not serious about the borders, we're not serious about the laws, this is the time to make a run for it. And in fact, a couple of months ago, I was on with Tucker Carlson for an early morning Fox and Friends on the weekend interview. And what we talked about was that ICE agents, Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents, I mean, this is mind-boggling, are now being told to deliver the illegal aliens who were smuggled into the country if their children find their parents, reunite them with the parents, and walk away. The parents are here illegally. I'd love to see what that investigative report looks like. Encountered the parents, made certain they were who they claimed they were. I'd like to know how they do that. If they don't have official documentation, they're undocumented, most of them, let's remember. But we just left them there? We left them there? You know, when I was an agent, if we encountered an illegal alien, we had to explain why we didn't put handcuffs on them if we didn't. We had to explain what we did to ameliorate the situation, whether we gave them a notice when they needed to appear, whatever it was. We had to dispose of that information or memorialize that information in such a way where the bosses would come back to us and say, okay, you did the right thing. How do you write up a report that says, took smuggled alien minor to illegal alien parents and waved goodbye? This is misfeasance and malfeasance being done at the behest of the administration, folks. Look up those two words, misfeasance and malfeasance. It's kind of almost bureaucratized corruption. This makes no sense. And what this does is encourage more aliens to be smuggled into our country. And what's so remarkable is if you drive your car too fast and the police pull you over and they realize you have a kid bouncing around on the back seat, not in a car seat, not buckled in, not properly secured, forget about a ticket. That's the least of your problems. They're probably going to arrest you and charge you with endangering the welfare and the life of that child. And I agree completely. I'm in 100% agreement with that. But what this government is recklessly doing, pardon me, is to incentivize the smuggling of children into the United States now. Because everybody knows that once you get to the border, even if they arrest the smuggler, the aliens, the minor alien children, will be brought to their parents. This is bass ackwards. We have a problem with drunk driving in America. How do we deal with it? We deal with it by lowering the acceptable blood alcohol level. We deal with it by setting up more sobriety checkpoints. We deal with it by including tougher penalties if you're caught driving and drinking, or drinking and driving. So the idea, you get caught, they take your car, you get hit with hundreds of dollars in fines, you lose your license, and maybe you go to jail. That's pretty serious. Now, if this was immigration, they'd say, well, let's go from 1.0, not to 0.8, but make it 2.0, so now legally we can claim that none of the people that killed people on the highway were legally drunk. Yeah, they had a couple of drinks, but they still weren't legally drunk. That's the equivalent of what we are now doing with our immigration enforcement. There is no enforcement. And during a hearing, Jay Johnson had to admit to Homeland Security, and he's had to admit it at other hearings, that they are not really making arrests inside the United States any longer for illegal aliens violating most of our laws. So now the borders don't matter. So I have a question for all of you out there. This is a mind question. And I've used this question when I've been out there speaking on the speaking circuit. I work with a couple of speakers' bureaus. And by the way, if any of you become familiar with any opportunities for debates, panel discussions, whatever, around the country, I'm interested. You can reach me through michaelcutler.net. Let me know what's going on. I love going to college campuses and having these conversations. But at one of these events, somebody was a little bit cynical and said, oh, you just don't like people to come here. I said, no, I don't like people to come here illegally. I said, but here's my question. If you don't think it's a big deal that people run the border between the United States and Mexico, by the way, we're leaving out Canada, we're leaving out the stowaways on the ships, you know, any state that has a seaport access to the, I believe it's 95,000 miles of coastline or is on the northern or southern border or has an international airport is a border state. That's all 50 states. But if you don't think it's a big deal that aliens that run the Mexican border should be allowed to stay here, then why do we spend all that time, money, and effort on an inspections process at all? Why not simply allow people who arrive at international airports from other countries to have that airplane go to a gate just the way a domestic flight does? You know, you could have a plane from Hong Kong and a plane from Liberia and a plane from London, England, and a plane from Bogota, Colombia. Just go right into a gate next to the domestic flights from San Francisco, Chicago, Miami, and New York and make believe it's a domestic flight. The people get off the airplane. They grab their suitcase. The only person they talk to is the cab driver that they give the address to that they want to go to. Would anybody be comfortable with that situation, knowing that people were flying here from all over the world and then just getting into a taxi cab or hopping into a car driven by one of their buddies and disappearing? That's what's happening along the Mexican border. That's what's happening on the Canadian border. And because of the visa waiver program, increasingly, this is the problem we have with people who come here supposedly for a 90-day period under the visa waiver program, and they don't go anywhere. They stay here. And no one's looking for them. And this game of hide and seek, they're hiding, we're not seeking, and it's by intent. It's by intent because you have people going around saying, oh, we need all these foreign workers, we need all these foreign businesses, we need all these foreign tourists. Never mind that we might have terrorists and criminals entering this way. Never mind that the head of the Iranian guard said, oh, we already have scoped out the targets we want to hit if you attack us because of our nuclear program. Is there any doubt in anybody's mind that if we had to take military action against Iran, that they have people in place in the United States right now who are ready, willing, and able to set bombs off or take other violent action against America or Americans? See, that's the lunacy of this all. The lunacy is that we have lost almost every one of our expectations of privacy and freedom in the name of national security. You know, we're like Pavlov's dogs. Go to the airport. I do a lot of flying. Go to the airport. people are immediately hopping out of their shoes and taking off their coats, and, you know, everyone's got those plastic bins, and the laptop goes there, and the shoes go there, and the coat goes here, and we've all got it down. We've been conditioned. National security. Well, think about something. Would you be willing to fly on an airplane in this day and age where some of the passengers were able to sneak through security without being inspected? Would you get on the airplane? I don't know about you. I probably would not. So why in the world are we then being forced to live in towns and communities across this great nation with foreign nationals who snuck in and evaded the inspections process? Is the only way to attack America through airplanes? Is that what happened in Boston on April 15th of last year? There were no airplanes involved in what happened at the marathon, folks. Country is kind of like Toys R Us handed over to a kid with the platinum card. There are so many ways for creating mischief and mayhem in the United States. And meanwhile, nobody pays attention. Nobody cares. Everyone, you know, runs around. Oh, I wonder who's going to win this ball game or that ball game, or when are they going to come out with a new iPhone? I mean, this is, you know, deadly important stuff. I think it's Waters World, if that's what it's called, on O'Reilly. This guy goes up to these college gals and says to them, well, not just gals, they did it with men also. It's both. Let's be fair about this, because we're all cement heads in this country today. Not we, but most Americans, unfortunately. And this one young lady, if you saw that sad episode, was asked who was the president of the United States during the Second World War. I don't know if you guys saw that, but I almost fell out of my chair. This seemingly bright and intelligent young lady, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, she didn't look like she was strung out on drugs or had too much to drink, scratched her head, started giggling, and then said, George Washington? George Washington was the president during the Second World War? Really? This is the kind of stupidity that's leading us down the pathway to destruction, folks. You watch the evening news, and they will always say, we need to have comprehensive reform. It's good for the economy. And no one says a word. No one challenges them. Nobody says, how? How? How is it in everybody's best interest to have more foreign workers sending more money out of the country? U.S. News and World Report did a study a couple of weeks ago about what's important to Americans. They talked about poverty and homelessness, violence and crime, terrorism, the deficit. Not a word about immigration. And you know what? Immigration is hammering every one of those issues. Every one of those issues getting slammed. Every year, between $100 to $200 billion gets wired out of the United States by foreign workers sending that money back to their home country. If you look at the multiplier effect, which says that if you make money, you tend to spend it, and if you spend it, the money circulates through the economy. That was the whole idea behind the economic stimulus package. So $200 billion is quickly more than a half trillion dollars in terms of the impact it has on the economy. So for anybody out there who's worried about the economy, worried about the deficit, if let's say you have $150 billion wired out of the country, and I think it's probably higher than that. I've seen estimates running to $200 billion, maybe more. But in any event, we're talking about $500 billion being added to our deficit every year. And that's before you look at the impact that this has on middle-class workers who lose their jobs, lose their homes to foreclosures, and go from being tax-paying consumers to people on welfare and other safety net program with no disposable income to speak of. How much harm does that do to our economy? But nobody says a word. These folks come on, and it's like saying the sun's going to rise in the east, and everybody goes, uh-huh. We need comprehensive reform for the economy, uh-huh. Why doesn't anybody say how? How does it make sense to bring in more foreign workers in the high-tech industries when right now the unemployment rate for high-tech workers in some areas is as high as 14.7%, more than double what it is for the average unemployed American worker, period. So I went into a whole bunch of those hows. So if you go to the CAPS website, I think you'll find it interesting. I'm going to make a suggestion. Cut it out. Cut out those questions, the how questions, and then take those questions with you to the town hall meetings. Take those questions with you when you make a phone call to a radio show and some politician is there. Send those questions around the country. Let's ask all these people that question. I got another question. It's not in the article, but in the question that I used in a Washington Times op-ed that I wrote during the summer. We need comprehensive reform to get the people out of the shadows, okay? How are you going to get the illegal aliens out of the shadows if no one's looking for them? So if you have a guy that knows he's been arrested 5 times in the United States for rape, murder, and arson, and he or she does not come forward, who's going to look for him? There is nothing in any of these pieces of legislation that call for more agents so they go out and dig these people out of the woodwork. And the people we will process, they're just simply going to get ID in whatever name they claim is theirs, which is a great opportunity for the bad guys to embed themselves. Why are we allowing that to happen? And nobody asks the question. No one says how. No one says why. Don't you think it's time to start asking those questions? I mean, it's absolutely remarkable. And now you've got a congressman from California. Think what happened to California by the name of Jeff Denham. And he's got something called the Enlist Act. So what in the world are we doing? What in the world are we doing? You know, we've got to his concern here is that we're looking at the stories about the drug cartels. Look at the report that he's issued and ask yourself, what are we doing to meet the challenges being created by the cartels? You know, this is what I worry about. I worry about the fact that Mr. Cantor is looking to have some kind of comprehensive immigration reform bill passed. He's part of the Republican leadership. Please understand that this isn't one side. This is both sides of the aisle. We keep seeing the same thing happening again and again and again. And look at the dangers that it creates for us. If we don't use our heads, we're going to have a big problem. And let me just tell you something. If you really want to know how secure our border is, if that's really what you want to know, don't look at the arrest statistics because we know that they've been doctored. Pardon me. Look at the price of heroin and cocaine. Cocaine and heroin have become so prevalent on the street that in Yonkers and elsewhere, police departments are taking up the idea of issuing antidotes to heroin so that when the police come on the scene of an overdose where someone's breathing is being depressed or stops altogether because heroin can do that, that this antidote blocks the effect of the heroin to revive them. And they're talking about this epidemic of heroin, in part because these Americans have gotten hooked on oxycodone. And so, you know, when they can't afford the $90 or the $80 or whatever it is per dose, they turn to a much cheaper substance, and that's heroin. Every gram of heroin and cocaine that is consumed in the United States was smuggled into the United States. If the borders were secured, the price of those drugs would go through the roof. Heroin use has more than doubled since this president took office. So you would expect the price would have gone up. The demand has increased tremendously. And what do they tell you? The price for heroin is in the toilet. It's dirt cheap, literally. So do you think the border is secure? Let's forget those ridiculous arrest statistics. They're meaningless. As I told Neil Cavuto when I was on his show last year, trying to figure out how many illegal aliens are present based on those arrest statistics is like taking attendance by asking people not present to raise their hand. It doesn't work. What does work is the price of narcotics. Because the same border that provides access to the illegal aliens provides access to the heroin and to contraband. God forbid one day it'll be a weapon. We are setting ourselves up for a catastrophe. We are disincentivizing education. We are destroying the middle class. And we are wiring money out of this country faster than you know what goes through a goose. But the people making tons of money through the movement of the money and the people that are making tons of money by bringing in cheap labor run around spewing the same lies and nonsense. We don't have enough high-tech workers. That's not the case. Not the case at all. The Mexican border is significant, but it's not the be-all and end-all. I have an article that I just sent over that's going to be published in the spring edition of The Social Contract, which is an online magazine, and they also publish a magazine. It's both. And I compared this focus on the Mexican border with something that during the Second World War came to be known as the Calais Deception. For those of you familiar with military history and the United States, you know what I'm talking about. For those of you who aren't, you'll have to get the magazine or go online when it's out, and I'll be putting out the link to it. But what I really want everybody to do is please go to the capsweb.org website. Go to the michaelcutler.net website. I've also started writing for another magazine, American Outrage, another website, rather, American Outrage. You know, my goal is to get as much information into the hands of the American people, but that once you get your hands on the information, folks, please make use of it. Please make certain to use it to make the politicians accountable, whether it's that mayor or the governor or the president or members of Congress or members of the Senate. I don't care. Make them accountable. And write to these journalists, so-called, and say to them, you know, you're on TV and you're making all these ridiculous statements and people believe you because you have credibility, you know, the altar of the TV camera. When they say comprehensive reform is good for America and would be good for the economy, how? How does it make sense to create more competition for Americans who are losing their homes to foreclosure? How does it make sense to give identity documents to illegal aliens whose identities can't be verified and we worry about terrorism? How? Go check out that article. Go check out the other articles on the website. But I think you're going to want to keep this one and use it as a reference material. It's very simple. And use it at those news conferences. Use it at the town hall meetings. Hammer these politicians and make them answer you. And that's the way to get it done. Make certain that they get to be on the wrong end of that question, because there is no answer that makes sense. There's a lot of lies. There's a lot of mistruths being spewed. We used to call that propaganda or disinformation. It's time we started to call these people out. This is about the future of our country. It's about our future. It's about our children's future. And it's about our grandchildren's future. And we will have no one to blame but ourselves if we stand idly by and watch the destruction of our own country. You know, it's just outrageous. It's outrageous to see where we are in the world today, where we have no borders, where we have drugs flowing into this country, where we have international criminals coming into the United States. The ICE website was just touting the fact that they grabbed this guy who was wanted for molesting a little girl in the United States because he came back illegally. Folks, this is crazy. This is crazy stuff. The people at greatest risk from these transnational criminals are the members of these ethnic immigrant groups. So how in the world does it make sense that we don't do what we need to do to protect everybody from these people? That's why we have the immigration laws. We can make the things happen that we want to have happen if we're willing to apply the pressure. We're going the wrong way, and I'm not being partisan, but you look at what's happened with Russia. Russia is trying to reconstitute itself, it would certainly seem. Our ability to send astronauts into space has been taken from us. We have an administration that says, well, Congress won't give us the money for the rockets. Listen, it was this administration that grounded the space shuttle before there was another vehicle in place. My mom used to say, you don't throw out dirty water till you have clean water. China has expanded its airspace because they smell weakness. And it's understandable. And it's understandable. They want to shrink the government. And meanwhile, everyone wants to vilify the civil servants of the United States. They're not the problem. There's a great expression, folks, that when a fish goes bad, it smells from the head. That's the English translation of an old Yiddish expression. The point is, as Harry Truman would have said, the buck stops here. And I'm going to stop here as well. You know, it's always great getting together with you on these Friday evenings, Friday afternoons, depending on what part of the country you're in, whether you're on the West Coast or somewhere in the middle or here on the East Coast. I look forward to these Friday night chats with all of you. It was good having my friend Charles Butler join us. Charles, if you're still hanging in there, thank you so much for stopping by. And I hope you'll be stopping by again next week. You know, I always like to end my commentaries by reminding people that democracy is not a spectator sport. Please, folks, get involved. Meet with your neighbors. Primaries are coming in many places around the country. The best hope we have is that if you have a politician who voted for comprehensive reform in the Senate, they need to go. They need to go. If they're in the House of Representatives and they came out in support of it, they also need to go. Comprehensive immigration reform should be seen for what it is, and it's a disloyalty oath to America and Americans, a disloyalty oath. Clearly, they are not looking out for the best interests of America or Americans. That's really why we have immigration laws. No sensible person would give money to charity if they didn't have enough money to feed their own kids at night. And in point of fact, tonight it's estimated that 1 in 5 American kids will go to bed hungry. You think about all those starving children. When I was a kid, the joke was, think of the starving children in Europe. Today we don't have to. We can think about the starving children here in America. Think of all those servicemen and women who've served gallantly and courageously with dignity, and some of them came back physically wounded, emotionally wounded, maybe both. Unfortunately, all too many didn't come back. But for those who have returned, why aren't we looking to provide them with jobs that are decent and dignified and would give them a lifestyle that should be the envy of all Americans? We can do this. There is no reason for us to import foreign workers. This is a reverse form of xenophobia that blows my mind. I've never before seen a country say that if we don't import smart people from other countries, we're dead. And basically, that's what Ted Cruz has said. And by the way, Ted Cruz wants a 500% increase in the H-1B visas for high-tech workers, and I want to know why. Why in the world doesn't Ted Cruz want to educate American kids? Why doesn't Ted Cruz want to take care of returning GIs? Why in the world do you want to bring in foreign workers and foreign students to make America successful? Is that how we got to the moon? I mean, we did have the scientists from Penemunda from the Second World War, but other than that, thousands and thousands of Americans of every race, religion, and ethnicity pulled together, and we lived up to President Kennedy's call to land that man on the moon and return him safely to the earth before the decade was out. And of course, in 1969, Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong landed on the moon, came back along with Mike Collins, who stayed in orbit around the moon. We didn't reach out to India. We didn't reach out to any other country. We reached out into our own country. It's time we went back to that understanding. It's time that politicians who think that the solution for America is to import foreign workers find out what competition looks like in the next primary. Ted Cruz should be ashamed of himself. Ted Cruz should know better. And when people start telling you, oh, we're going to secure that border, run for your life, because there's lots more wrong with that immigration system than that Mexican border. Mr. Cruz, if you're listening, you're going the wrong way on a one-way street in this retired agent's judgment. We need politicians who want to see Americans get those jobs. American minorities are suffering the worst unemployment in this country, but Americans across the board are getting hammered, and hammered, unfortunately, by their own government. We have ourselves to blame for that. We hire these people. We can certainly fire them. The primaries are coming, folks. This is the opportunity to get rid of those people who believe that the solution to America's ills is foreign workers and not American workers. It's disgraceful, and we, the people, can certainly do something about that. That's my thoughts for the evening. Have a great weekend coming up, everybody. I hope the weatherman takes good care of you, and we'll see you next time right here on the Michael Cutler Hour. Good night, everybody.